Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Bava Basra Peches. We are holding 8 lines off the top of the Amud. Gufa, so let's review the halacha that we learned. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel tells us a great chiddush. Hanoitel, Klimina Umen Lavakroi, a person standing in a shop. He picks up an item to check it out, to inspect it, and see if it suits his needs. So he's going to basically decide on the spot. If it's unblemished, he's taking it. And as he's holding it, some accident occurs. Venenas biyadai duzen oinus. And the item got damaged. It broke. Who is responsible? Says Shmuel, guess what? The customer is. The potential customer is Chayef. You know why? The Rashbam goes into a whole explanation. He says, you know, it's to the customer's benefit. And the, you know, that he has the opportunity to buy this item. He says, we're speaking about something which is sought after, high demand. And the seller doesn't really have much benefit from your purchase. He can sell it to the next person. Right? So, it's considered hano'a of the koina. The customer is having benefit. He's having the hano'a. And allowing him to pick it up and inspect it is like letting him borrow it. He's like borrowing it. He's like a shayel who has hano'a from using something. And therefore, he is fully responsible. He's obligated to look after it. And if anything happens, even an oinus, even an accident, he has a din of a shayel and he has to pay for it. And the Gemara adds one point. That is only true provided there is a set rate, a known price for this item. The value, the price is known. It's something, you know, smallish, which has a known, set, determined price. But otherwise, you know, it's not a done deal until I, you know, sit down and negotiate the price with you, lest you just heighten the price and hike the rate, right, beyond my... So, if it's something which has a set rate, its value is more or less known, in that case, we say that picking it up is basically a way of taking it into your possession. You're just, you know, confirming that it suits you, and being that you know the price, you're expecting to pay a certain amount for it, and it's already in your rishus, you're responsible for it. Now we proceed with a couple of stories that actually highlight this halacha. Ho Gavra, there's a story about this fellow, Da'ala Be'tifchei, walks into this butcher shop, Agba, and he picks up Atma, the Bistra, like a thigh, you know, cut of meat. And as he's holding it, Bahadi de Ka'agba, suddenly a fellow comes by and swipes it. Also, Parsha, this horse rider, flies by, Mirma Minay grabs it from him. There goes the meat. Who's responsible? Look, I picked it up. I didn't yet buy it or pay for it. I mean, also come to Rav Yemar. So he comes to Rav Yemar and he says, guess what? You have to pay for it. Chive lishlumei demei. He required the customer, the potential customer, to pay for the value, to pay for the lost item. But once again, Bahanimila, that's only true hudakitzi demei when the item had a known rate, a known price, in which case we apply this halacha. Hahu Gavro, here comes another story about a fellow, the Icy Kari. This fellow was a pumpkin merchant. He brought pumpkins, Lepumnahara, to this town called Pumnahara. Oh, so Kuliyam, everybody comes running, all excited, fresh shipment of pumpkins, of you know, squash or whatever. Shakul Kara Kara, everybody grab a pumpkin, and this fellow started, you know, losing control, and wasn't very happy that his items were just being grabbed, lest he have the ability to make sure they get paid for the items. So he wants to regain control. So suddenly he makes this announcement. He says, Amar Lu, he calls out to them, Harayhen Mukdash and Lashamayim, I'm giving it away to the Beis HaMikdash. It's Hekdash. That's it. Everybody drop their items. No. Also, come to Rav Kahana. So they come to Rav Kahana to ask him how to deal with this situation. Look, they wanted to buy it, and he turned it into Hekdash. Was it really his, or was it already theirs? Amar Lahu, so he told them, the seller, the vendor, no longer is considered in control of these items, and therefore he does not have the ability to give it away to Beis HaMikdash. A person doesn't have the ability to be Magdish Davar She'ena Shleir, something which is not his or out of his control. Here as well, since it had a set rate, they knew, you know, the price, and they were holding it to buy it, it's already considered theirs. That's only when it has a set price. But otherwise, in that case, of course, it's considered in the hands of the owner, of the seller, and in that case, of course, he has the ability to be magdish the items. Tanur Rabbon, here comes another halacha which is somewhat related. Halakeach Yerek Min Hashuk, a person walks into the marketplace, he's a chaver, he's a Talmud Chacham, he's a person who is scrupulous regarding his, you know, truma and maser obligations, and he walks into a marketplace full of Amei Ha'aretz who are not really careful with trumas and masers. And he goes and he buys, he's approaching a vendor to purchase some vegetables. Halakeach Yerek Min Hashuk, Ubirer V'hiniach, and he picks up a bundle, checks it out, puts it down, does the same thing again and again. Even if he does it the entire day, like Kana, it's not really his yet, he's just looking it over. And therefore, typically, a chaver, a righteous person, is not meant to let go. It's not meant to release, give away something which is usur. Let's say produce which is still tevel, with, you know, without the truma and maser separated. But here, the customer is simply inspecting the goods. He didn't take it yet. He didn't buy it. But once he gets to the point that he's committed, even in his heart, gomar b'libo liknoisai, he decides, okay, this looks good. I'm going to take this. Kana v'neschai b'maser. That makes it his. And now he must separate the truma and maser from that bundle. And even if he decides at this late point to put it back, to return it to the vendor, put it back in the, you know, on the pile, lachziro e efshar. He can't just return it as is. He can't. Too late. Shekvar neschayiv b'maser, because he's already obligated to separate the truma and maser, because it's already his. Ulaasro e efshar. On the other hand, he can't just separate the maser and give it back, because then he's deducting. He's giving back less than he took. Shekvar machisan medamim. He's giving back less than he took. Okay, so what's the solution? He doesn't want it, right? He can't just give it back as is. Nor can he separate the truma and maser, because he's going to be, you know, deducting, which is not his business, right? He can't give back less than he took. I mean, he wants to be righteous and scrupulous. It's great, but not on Yenem's cheshbon, right? Not on the owner's account. Okay, so what's the solution here? Ma'asroi v'noisin lo dmei maser. So he has to separate the maser. No way out. Because he's a chaver. He's not meant to release forbidden goods. But he has to compensate the owner for the missing amount. Asks the Gemara, hold it. I mean, I understand Shmuel's halacha. If you took something to inspect it, then you dropped it, you lost it, you broke it, of course you're responsible. But here, he's giving it right back. Of course you have a right to return it. I mean, that much he's allowed to do. Atur Mashem the Gomer, believe it, it's just because in his heart he committed to buying the item. Kana, it's a done deal. When it's chayv b'masher, he has to separate the masher. Why can't just give it back? Amar of Aisha, you're right. Typically, you don't have to do this. We're speaking about a fellow who's on a higher level. His feelings, his intention, his heart means something to him. He considers that to be a bona fide commitment. We're speaking about a tzaddik. Kigon Rav Safra. For example, there was a story regarding Rav Safra, and the Rashban brings it in great detail. He says like this. Rav Safra was reading, what was Mil Davening, it was Mil Kriya Shema, and this fellow came over and offered him a good deal. Are you willing to sell me, you know, your merchandise for $1,000? And Rav Safra ignored him. Not because he wanted to ignore him, but because he was a Mulf Krishma, become a Mulf Downey. So he sort of ignored him. The fellow thought that he wants him to, you know, sweeten the deal. That he's ignoring him because he's not happy with the money that he's offering. So he decided, okay, he'll increase the offer. So he went higher and higher, and until he got to, you know, to whatever amount. And by the time he was done, Rav Safra finally finished his davening, and he turns around to him and says, you know what? I was willing to sell it to you right away. In my heart, I was maskim to sell it to you right away. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to allow you to pay me more. That's a man of integrity. That's a man of emes. Kigoyin Rav Safra, the Kiyah ben Avshay, who applied on himself the pasuk in Tehillim. V'toyver emes, speaking truth, bilavava, even unexpressed words are binding to such a man. You know, such a person, even his thoughts, his feelings are so chasha, so prominent, so important. They carry weight, and he lives by them. So basically, that's the case here as well. A person picked up the bundle, the yerek, from the vendor in the market. Who's speaking about this type of person, whose feelings mean something to him, whose thoughts carry weight, and he's not willing to, renege on that. And therefore, since he intended on buying it, he considers it his, and he has to deal with it accordingly. Says the Mishnah, Sitoin. We have this grand distributor selling, oil, wine, and he's got these, containers, these measuring containers, measuring cups. They must be kept clean, lest the material, that he's selling, slowly congeal along the walls and take up space in that measuring cup and rendering them inaccurate. Right? So he has to clean them, make sure they're nice and squeaky clean. How often does he have to clean them? So the Mishnah gives us rules for everything. Hasito and mekanech midays of acha echad u'shloishim yom, once in 30 days. U'balabayis. But a balabayis who's only selling once in a while, is not involved in this constantly. Echad l'shneimasar chodesh, he doesn't have that much to deal with, not that much material, so therefore once a year is enough. Rabban Shimon Gamliel, mechilif advarim. If anything, go the other way around. Constant use results in cleaner equipment, because the stuff is moving through quickly. But a balabayis, who seldomly gets involved in selling and he should be cleaning more often, because there's more chance that the material congeals in his kli versus the distributor who has a fast moving business. Chenvani, what about a grocer? Mekanech midos of hamayim b'shabbos. Oh, so by him it's twice a week. And the Rashbam explains, even though he's really busy all the time and his kelim are being used constantly, the answer is because, as we learned yesterday, the chenvani gets a discount. He doesn't have to do the three-drop process, right? When he finishes pouring it, he doesn't have to stand there and wait for three drips. So basically, that results in a lot of accumulation. So we require him to actually clean up twice a week. U'memacha mishkaloysav. So these are measuring cups for liquids, right? Oil, wine. What about mishkalos of weights? Whether it's metal weights or stone weights used for, weighing on the scale. So you have to clean them up, pamachas b'shabbos, once a week. Umekanech maznaim. What about these scales themselves? The actual, alkal mishkal, mishkal. Every time you use them, every use requires a clean, a sweep. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Bamed v'mamur. When do we apply these formulas? Balach, when it's a fellow dealing with liquids. Aval beyavish, but a fellow who's weighing or measuring dry goods, like Rashbam says, kamoin, pilpulin, peppers, whatever, things like that. So there's no need to be so careful. Eino tzorach, you don't have to clean them as much, because these things don't really stick to your kelim. V'chayev lachri le'tefach. Oh, here comes a brand new discussion. Okay, so this merchant is selling using a scale. He can't just do it evenly. There's a halacha we're going to see in the Gemara that he has to actually tip it. Tip the scale. It has to be a tefach lower than the other side. And that's how he sells. It's the tip of the scale. Perhaps that's where the Lashon tip comes. You have to give him a tip. We're going to learn from the Pasuk that you meant to give him a bit more. You meant to add, a little bonus for the customer. Let's say, in this place, the minig was, the practice was not to tip the scale. Ein bein means eye to eye, means exactly even. So sure, you can do that. if that's your, you know, but you have to give him a bit more. Nice like Gerumov, you have to give him the extra. Gerumen. You have to give him a bit extra, even though you can, you know, as you're weighing it, you can weigh it perfectly, but then you have to give him a little bit more. How much is that extra? What's the bonus? Echad la'asor b'alach, ve'echad la'esr b'yavish. And the Gemara will explain exactly what this means. Kadir is the Mishnah. When you weigh, when you measure, you have to follow the common accepted practice in that makom. Makom shenagu lomid b'daka. If in this place they typically measure small measures, let's say you're buying a large amount, but they, you know, they weigh it, each pound individually, lo yamud b'gasa. You have no right to weigh 100 at once. Why? Rashbam says because the customer is going to lose, because ultimately when you weigh it separately, each, you know, each time you give them a, you know, drop more, even if it's not intentional, you know, inevitably a little more falls in, so he's going to end up getting that little bit more. Versus doing it all as one bulk, one weight, one measure, he's going to be missing those bonuses. So you have no right to switch the system. And the same thing in the reverse, because the seller is going to lose. Bagasa, the accepted norm was to sell large bulk, Layamud Bagaka, he has no right to go and ask him to weigh it separately, because the seller is going to lose out. Another example is limchayk. Lo yigdash. Yigdash is a heap. So someplace they would sell with a heap, right? A little bit extra. So if the minig was to do limchayk, to do it without the heap, just a flat top, lo yigdash, you shouldn't ask him for extra. Lo yigdash, the minig was to do it with the heap, lo yimchayk, you can't do it without the heap. Menon amili, let's go back to the Mishnah, which says that when you weigh, you have to lopsided a tefach. How do we know this is true? Where's the source? Amr shlokish, it's a pasuk, damakra, evin shleima v'tzedek. Meant to have accurate stones, weights, v'tzedek. What does v'tzedek mean? Lashon of tzedakah. Be generous. Tzedek mishalcha v'tenlo. Take some of yours and give it to him. We learn from here that when you weigh, you have to do it unevenly to give the customer a bit extra. Asks the Gemara if it's a Torah requirement to do so. How can the Mishnah continue and say, well, in some places they don't do that? Yochei mosefa. So how do we understand the next part of the Mishnah? If he chose to weigh it exactly, you have to give him the extra afterwards. What do you mean? If the Torah mandates this lopsided weight system, how is he allowed to weigh it perfectly? Says the Gemara, you're right. Rish Lakish never meant that the Torah mandates a lopsided weight. No. A scale can be perfectly even. The Torah is just saying, look, you have to give him a bit of a bonus. You can choose how you want to do that. You can do the scale lopsidedly, or you can do the scale perfectly straight, even, and then give him a bit extra afterwards, right? El Reisha, rather the first part of the Mishnah, describing a lopsided scale of a Mokim Shenago, is speaking about a place where they have this minute to do it that way. Rish Lakish's point was focused on the next part of the Mishnah. He chose to do it exactly because in that makom they did not lopside the scale. Nice and gerumin, but he's still obligated to give him that extra bonus. Now, immediately, how do we know this is true? How do we know that a seller has to give the buyer a bonus? I'm Rish Lakish, I'm a crook, based on the pasuk, right? The tzedek. We learned tzedek mishachov etein, like give him a bit of your own. The kamei gerumin. Okay, so how much extra? Amrav Abba Bar Mamal, Amrav Echad Masora Belitro Belach, Lasora Litron. Oh, so he explains like this. If you look at the Mishnah, it sounds like it's a tenth. Echad me'asorah. Right? But it doesn't say me'asorah. It says la'asorah. It says the Rashbam. Why the Lamed? It's not a tenth. It's a hundredth. And as Rav explains, echad me'asorah belitra. It's one-tenth of a litra belach. We're speaking about liquids here, right? In a minute, we're going to speak about dry goods. But first, liquids. So one litra. A tenth of that litra, la'asorah litrin, when he sold him 10 litrin. So basically, it's a hundredth. And the Mishnah, that's why it says la'asorah, because it's like it's missing a word. It should be like one-tenth when it's 10, you know, litrin. That's regarding liquid stuff. And when it comes to dry, it's actually a smaller amount. And Rashbam explains, you know why? You know why he owes him more when it comes to lach? Because ultimately, some of the lach material, like the oil, gets stuck to the walls of the kli. He's not going to get his full entitlement, the buyer is. So the seller is required to give him a bit more of a bonus. So there it's a hundredth, but when it comes to yavish, it's much less than that, either half or even a quarter. We'll see. Echel asar belach, ve'echel esrim beyavish. So the Mishnah says by lach it's 1 of 10, which we explained to mean 1 of 100, and by yavish it's echel le'esrim. So the question is, what does echel le'esrim mean? It means 1/120th, but what does it mean? 1/120th of a 20th? So it's basically 1 in 400? Or does it mean 1/10th of a 20th of a yavish, which is a 200th. Iboilus. The question is, hechi kamar, what does the Mishnah mean? Echad ma'asor belach la'asor delach. When it comes to lach, it's 1/10th of a 10th, 100. Ve'echad me'esrim beyavish, esrim beyavish. When it comes to yavish, it's 1/20th of a 20th, which is a 400th. Idilma, or means 1 in 200. Echad ma'asor la'asor delach u'esrim beyavish. 1/10th of 10 by lach, and 1/10th of 20 by yavish, which is really 1 of 200. Take it, we leave it unresolved. Amar Rav Levi, how careful is a person meant to be? Is a vendor meant to be when he measures up his goods, when he weighs his material, when he sells his merchandise? Amar Rav Levi, kasha einshan shel midas. The negative consequences, the einish, resulting from dishonesty in terms of weights and measurements, is yaser, is more severe ma'inshin shel arayis. Why? Because by dishonesty and weights and measurements, the pasuk uses the word eil. It says kol oisa eil. Sorry, by arayis it says eil. It says es hatoeva oisa eil. These inappropriate activities eil. But by midos it says kol oisa eile, kol oisa avol. Being dishonest earns you the title, earns the title eile, the term eile, which is more severe than ale, has the extra hay to make it more severe. Umay mashma dai ale koshu. Where do we see that the word ale denotes severity? The chsivas eile ores, the strong, tough people out there. So es ale ores lakach. So we see ale is a lashon of strictness and severity. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Gabay Arayas Nami. Hoksiv Eila. By Arayas, it also has the word Eila. Well, that's to address a different point. To highlight that Arayas has one advantage in terms of severity over the other issue. Hahulum Ute Midos Mikaris. Rashbam explains. I would think maybe since the Torah refers to dishonesty in business as Te'evais, so perhaps it results in the same oinesh being applied, misa, right? So that's why the pasuk uses the word eila by arayis to tell you that in a way arayis has something more than midos. The idea of capital punishment, misa, only applies to arayis. Asks the Gemara, okay, so if that's the case, then you've just basically turned it around. Arayis is more severe than midos. How can we claim that midos are more severe than arayis? I mean, in terms of einish, we see arayis is more. Velo mayot fayu. So in which way is midos more concerning than arayis? Answers the Gemara. You know how? The hosam efshe b'tshuva, as difficult as arayis is, a person can do teshuva for that. And the Tosis points out, even if there was a mamzer born, but fine, but the Torah, all the Torah requires you is to do teshuva. Hashem says, do teshuva and you do your good. Right? So there's a lasting effect, fine, but in terms of the personal connection to Hashem, a person could turn around, do teshuva, and undo what he did. But over here, by midos, when he cheated his customers, there's no way to undo that. I mean, go find all your customers, impossible. So there's no way to undo that. That brings out the severity, the koshi of midos over arayis. V'am Rav Levi, kosha gezel hedid, goyisim gezel gavoya. Listen to this. Stealing from an ordinary person is more, treated more severely, more harshly, than stealing from Hashem. How do we know? The Torah discusses denying, monetary things. The Torah says that he was chayta. As soon as he denies his friend's claim, his friend's rightful claim, the Torah calls it a chet. Then the Torah adds the word me'ila, deviation. V'zeh hikdim me'ila l'chet, as opposed to taking from Hashem. The Torah switches it. It says, which means to say that the chet only happens when he actually misuses Hegdish property. He has anah, he benefits from it. So it takes a while. It's a two-step process. But by the hedyot, as soon as he denies having his friend's money, where's my money? I don't know what you... That in itself is already a done deal. That's considered a chet right then and there. V'amar b'levi. Boy rei shaloi ki midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas Oser Adam. Look how different Hashem in his generosity and his mercy to us is than an ordinary person, than a Baser Adam, than a human being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu birach es Yisrael b'esem r'shtayim. We look at the Torah, we find that Hashem has rachmanes and is generous in his blessings, that he gave us 22 variations of bracha if we behave and keep the mitzvahs. He used all 22 letters, which are all forms of expression, or all possible ways of blessing us. V'kilon b'shmoina, but when it came to klala, to applying curses when chas v'shalom we don't behave, he limited it to 8 letters of the Torah. Only 8 forms of klala. Where is this? Birchan b'esem b'shtayim, when it comes to bracha, it's 22. That's in Parshas B'chukosai. Me, from the words v'im b'chukosai, so you start with the vav, v'im b'chukosai, and koimimius. So the aleph, v'im b'chukosai, the aleph, begins the letter, the first letter of the aleph base, that's the first, until ad koimimius, which ends with the letter saf. So it goes from aleph to taf. So the full gamut of brachas are we going to earn if we behave. V'kilim b'shmoinim, when it comes to klolo, he limited it to 8 letters, v'im b'chukosai tim asu, ad v'chukosai gala nafsham. So it's from the vav of the imchu kaisa until the mem at the end of the word nafsha, a total of 8 letters. Really, Moshe Rabbeinu, when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, when he applied brachas and klolos, he went the other way. He was more limited in his bracha and more broad in his klolos. Berachon b'shmoina, v'kilim b'esem b'shtayim, when it comes to bracha, he limited to 8, klolos to 22. Berachon b'shmoina, when it comes to bracha, was only 8. Mibahayim shamaya tishma v'ad le avdam. So he went from the vav to the mem, which is 8. The kilim b'esem b'shtayim, when it comes to the klolos, he went broad all the way from beginning to end. Mevahayim tishma v'ad ve'in kaina. So the vav, v'hay is the vav, till the last letter of kaina, which is the hay. From vav to hay covers the entire gamut of aleph beis of 22. So we see Hashem, Rashbam. Rashbam says that Hashem, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Rachmon, Brachosim Miruba, Mikolosai, and therefore he gave us a more generous offering. Okay, let's quickly go back. We have a Shmuel halacha. You pick up an item with the intent to buy it. If it works out, you're considered a shoyel and fully responsible, to the point that we have this fellow, Yirei Shemayim, even through Machshava, he's committed, like the story of Rav Safra. We have the Mishnah regarding maintaining cleanliness on one's weights and measurements. We have the Halacha of Tzadik Mishal Chavet Tainloi, give the customer a bonus, and the strictness and importance of keeping to the halachis of proper weights and measurements and dealing in business with integrity and honesty. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rav.